You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
What are the things that have marked your life? For most people, there are certain life events which are never forgotten. They become those things we call benchmarks for us. Maybe it was a certain achievement in school, or it was a particular graduation that marked you. Maybe it was getting your first apartment, your first home, or maybe it was your first love that marked you. For some, it was a wedding or the birth of a child. We are also marked by events like the passing of a loved one or a friend, which affect us in different ways. It could have been an illness that marked us and has left us to be changed people. There are also those events which, while they do not directly affect us, still have a grip upon us. For those of us who were growing up in the 1960s and 70s, and even before, three assassinations which took place in a period of only 5 years shook the foundations of our nation. First, it was President Kennedy. Last, it was his brother Robert Kennedy. But for many, what left an even bigger impact was the shooting of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The decade which had seen so much volatility surrounding the civil rights movement now saw a trauma which was, by many accounts, history-changing. Regardless of one's political persuasion, it was hard to ignore how three people who were proponents of a hopeful vision for the future were gunned down and their hope for a new direction was silenced. This is the weekend our nation sets aside to remember Dr. King and his legacy. And what is probably even more important is to speak the truth about the work which still needs to be done. The civil rights movement certainly moved us ahead as a people, but we realize there are many things which are so entrenched in our human experience that we might question just how much change has actually taken place. We know that race makes a difference when it comes to how we treat each other. When we are honest, we know that some groups of people are more equal than others. The reality is that the hope for justice prevailing for all is still elusive. We're continuing our exploration of Mark's gospel and the early ministry of Jesus. And justice was certainly an ideal with which Jesus would identify. The call of the prophet Micah to seek justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God would be something well known by the rabbi Jesus. His call to his followers to love neighbor as self was couched in his desire for justice for all people. This morning we heard read a passage which contains some familiar parables of Jesus. Jesus, we know, made frequent use of parables to further his teaching with his disciples and all those who gathered to listen to him. Now, a parable is different from a fable in that more often than not, the characters mentioned in the parable are human. And these parables were very succinct teaching tools. They did not go on for paragraphs and paragraphs. And almost always, these parables were treated as analogies. For example, they would start by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. It was a comparison. And then Jesus would go on to say what it was like in our world if it were to break in. And one of the things we learn early on as we study Mark's gospel that we learn about his disciples, that these parables often went right over their heads, prompting Jesus to have to provide very detailed explanations so they understood what he was talking about. If nothing else, it's a good reminder that following Jesus was not the domain for only the intellectually elite. Following Jesus, as is made very clear by the Gospels, is a possibility for all people. Today's parables of the sower and the seed, the mustard seed or the scattering seed on the ground, all have these similar agrarian roots. Planting and tending in order to produce abundance was a theme common in these parables. These were images Jesus often used to help people understand the realities of what it meant to be in God's kingdom. The parable of the sower, in particular, went into great detail, as you recall, about the kinds of soil in which the seed was scattered, as well as the other dynamics which determined whether the crop was going to be bust or boom. When we study these stories, we're often asked to find ourselves in the parables. When it comes to the sower and the seed, many times the approach when we teach this parable is to consider what kind of soil we might be. If we are the kind of soil that lets God's ideals bloom within us, or if we represent the contrary. The goal, of course, is to become the good soil. We want to be marked as good soil. Well, today, I want us to look at this in a different way. Instead, imagining that we are not the soil, but that we are the sower. Imagine that it is our job to cultivate the seed. Imagine that we have a choice as to where that seed should be scattered. It is our job to provide a bountiful harvest. One of the most important crops in that harvest is justice. Followers of Jesus are marked by the call to cultivate justice. It is not work for a select few. It is work for all of us. We are marked by God to do this very work. You might remember that in 1963, Dr. King presented his I Have a Dream speech to those who had gathered in the March on Washington, D.C. This was 3 months before President Kennedy was assassinated. And most, when you think about that speech, remember his rhetorical use of the statement, I have a dream, often forgetting the other content in the speech. You see, he had some very specific things to say about justice, and in Dr. King's words, but we refuse to believe that the bank of justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. I don't know about you, but I find great power in that statement. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. There is much we see happening around us that might suggest we no longer seem to have that same sense of urgency. There are those who maintain, oh, racism is dead, when reality teaches us otherwise. There may be those who say all people are equal when daily behaviors teach something completely different. And sadly, there are still those who hold great anger because of the civil rights movement, suggesting it was not needed and is not something that needs to be talked about now. And it is astonishing how many of those persons identify themselves as Christian. So I'd ask us to pause for a moment and to think about the question, where do I see injustice? Or maybe even the question, when have I been on the other side of justice? So let's just pause for a moment and think about that. There's a lot that makes us shake our heads. When the conditions in our society cause the majority of persons incarcerated in this country to represent a small number of ethnicities and a small bandwidth of socioeconomic groups, we have to ask ourselves the question, is this justice? When the number of shootings that take place on the part of law enforcement seems skewed to one demographic, is justice at work? When politicians choose to demonize immigrants, wrapping enormous groups of people into unsupportable generalizations, is justice at work? When leaders in government view health care for all as a bad thing, are they focused on justice? When economists tell us that the divide between haves and have-nots is wider than it has ever been, do we believe it is justice that prevails? When developed nations take advantage of developing nations to acquire resources, is that justice? When one's sex, sexuality, or nation of origin is cause for oppression, do we really believe that justice is at work? I sometimes wonder if we are more marked by our indifference towards justice than being cultivators of justice. If Jesus were here in our midst, what would his assessment be? Would he say, "It's okay, you're trying your best"? Or would it be a different response for those who say that they are his followers and want to be marked by him? So what might we do, friends? What might we do as followers of Jesus to be cultivators of justice? Well, it means that we first agree that we're working from a common, non-debatable foundation that views working for justice as a primary task, not some optional engagement whenever it is convenient. That's our foundation as followers of Jesus. And beyond that, there are probably some specific things that each of us could do. First, let's stop participating in the tyranny of every opinion being held in equal value and importance. This past December, there was an opinion piece that appeared in the New York Times, and the topic of it, which caught my attention, was "Millennials are working to create a more inclusive and just world." And there was a statement I particularly resonated with from the woman who wrote this opinion piece. And she was talking specifically about in the academic arena. And she said this, "Promoting a rigorous academic environment does not mean making space for every idea that pops into a student's head. Academic discussions make space in conversations to hear from people who have valuable knowledge to contribute." Obviously, it's skewed towards a student perspective, but on the other hand, it is a valuable lesson for us who are no longer in the academy. Yes, friends, there are many opinions out there. Some are buffoons, some are ignorant, some are set on fear-mongering. But just because it is an opinion does not mean that it is an opinion that has any value. When it comes to faith, we have to be more discriminating. And so shouldn't it be the same when we talk about things like justice? It's our job to sort out these opinions, lifting up those which are truly of value. We can no longer remain silent. Dr. King's statement of it being fatal if we overlook the urgency of the issue of justice is just as real 53 years later. So, for example, when our friends or our family make outrageous statements, Jesus calls us to speak up. When we go to the voting booth, Jesus would ask us if our vote goes towards cultivating justice for others. When some voices might suggest that Christians shouldn't be involved in these kinds of things, it's time for us to be vocal in offering a different kind of vision for what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Another thing we can do is consider our weekly activities. Being honest about how much of our time and effort goes into creating a more just world. Many have packed schedules between responsibilities at work and at home, but there are few people in a community like ours who do not have a reasonable chunk of time to be used at their discretion. What do we do with that time? Is it mostly used for personal pleasure and entertainment? Is it used for self-improvement? What if we were to be intentional in designating time for activities which work to further justice in our world? We do not have to look far to see that there is a myriad of opportunities out there. Many of you know that and are already doing that. But friends, if we want to be marked as a people who work for and cultivate justice, it requires actions. Not just words. Friends, are we marked by Jesus? Do we yearn to put into place his vision for what the world could be like when the kingdom of God breaks in? We are called to be cultivators, cultivators of justice. How committed are we as individuals and as a faith community to that task? Christ gives us grace, which makes a profound difference in our lives. How are we about the task of doing that for others? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.